B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
3 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. 4K day, 5K day, 4K. The 5K day comes up at 4 o'clock, so I get the 4 and the 5 mixed up. We had a $1,000 winner yesterday, so 4 o'clock, I'm going to give you a keyword. It's brought to you by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You'll have a chance to win $1,000 with three ways to enter, so stay tuned. We give the keyword at 4 o'clock. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corbelli's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. I'm looking at the Sixers last night. I know they lost the game by 12, so it's not... The five guys that played the most minutes were all minus.
Yeah.
Ben was minus 14 last night.
And it was he was minus 8 in the fourth quarter.
Thibault, minus 11.
Yeah.
Tobias was minus 9. Al Horford, minus 6. And Corky was minus 2. Shake played 23 minutes, minus 7. Is there a plus on the... There was only one plus on the whole team last night. It was Josh Richardson, who only played 4 minutes.
Yeah, when you lose by 12.
Yeah.
You know. There was going to be no outlier. Plus, without Richardson, there's not going to be any outlier lineups. A lot of guys having to overlap unexpected minutes from guys. Especially in volume.
Yeah.
Korkmaz started the second half. That's not great.
Yeah, listen, he made some shots last night. So I'm not going to, yeah, I'm not going to complain about him. They had to have him on the floor to at least try to score, right?
Yeah, they didn't have a choice. It's just what you give up.
You're liking Korkmaz a little more, aren't you?
Yeah. I am. If he's making shots, I'm fine with him. The problem I have with him is when he's not making shots, he doesn't do anything to make up for it. Other guys, like, I know what they do if they're not making shots on the roster. Mm-hmm. Of the main players I'm talking about. Maybe get you a rebound, scrappy defense, whatever it may be. He's just there for offense. So if he's not making shots, he's dead to me.
I find it really... unusual that because he will make an occasional three, why he has 7 feet of cushion to shoot that three.
Yes.
Why don't teams go out on him?
Well, that's still the power of Ben and playing Ben a fifth option. Everybody shifts their defense and says, we'll take that. And what's going to start happening now is they're going to start leaving Thibault real open.
Yeah.
And then Thibault, like in the fourth quarter they did, and he made him pay twice. He went 2 for 2 late in the game. He's going to see more of that. They'll start shifting more, and it's going to be up to Thibault to make open shots.
And I'll give Korkmaz credit because he's been spry and moving to open spots.
Yes, he's good. He's savvy like that. Mm-hmm. His offensive game, for what he is fine. It's just he has to find a way not to kill him on the other end. And if that means cheating more, taking charges, he has to find a thing. Like all Euros do. Most Euros don't straight D up. I don't want to be stereotypical because Saul's like the exception. And he also grew up here. But most Euros don't straight D up. So he's got to find a gimmick.
All right, my only question about Korkmaz is whether he could be reliable in a heated playoff setting. And I just don't buy it. And I hope to God I'm wrong. That would make me 101-1.
I believe one thing.
Yes.
He will not be afraid. He is not afraid. The moment will not be too big for Korkmaz. He, in his heart, believes he should be out there. So the moment, now that doesn't mean he'll make the shot. What I'm saying is he's not going to be afraid to shoot the shot.
See, I even tweeted in his favor last night. I don't know if you caught that.
I did not catch
it. Say he made like a couple threes in a row. I went, playing with the Ben. He was playing with the Ben last night. He was playing with the Ben. and he was... making shots.
Yeah, he has a role. Brett Brown was right. With this roster, he needed to keep playing Korkmaz. Brett Brown was right. He was. Coach was right about that.
You know, I'm looking at Anderson Scott. And they remind me right now of a lawnmower that you tipped on its side and all the gas came out except for just a little bit. And you can start it, but it'll sputter and it'll go out like real quick. Like those guys look like sputtering lawnmowers.
Unfortunately,
I get with no gas left.
I told you,
very little gas in the tank,
and it is looking like that. And the Hive, he's a popular player.
Mm-hmm.
But even some of the Hive members have been like tweeting the Sixers outsiders and stuff about he's crazy streaky.
Yeah.
But maybe the All-Star break, his legs feel good because he was really good after the All-Star break last year. But he needs a stretch where he shoots, because otherwise, he's another guy. What else does he really do for you offensively if he's not making shots? Because he doesn't dribble drive. He needs to make shots.
And it's me, it's like Fred Sanford.
Fred Sanford.
He's looking like Fred Sanford.
Fred Sanford.
Look at his old Fred Sanford.
And the coach has been limited his minutes. Look how many minutes he played last night. He only played 6 minutes. You don't have to do the Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. Come on, man. Come on, you can do that.
That's a violation.
Coming to join you, honey.
Let's get Ramon uptown. Ramon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Mikey Mike?
What's up, Ramon?
Hey, man. I'm with you, man. I'm just, I'm feeling good with my team, but, man, when I look at them, I think back to when Tobias, against the Utah game, we were at the game, and he was walking back to the bench, and he looked at the bench and said, "Yo, man, you need to shoot the blanking ball, man." And just said, and he looked at me and said, "Yeah, shoot the ball." And it's such like, you have an opportunity. You could be an all-star with your eyes closed, but to be a superstar. And when Cuz was just comparing, taking AI and Ben, you got one guy who never saw a bad shot, and you got one guy who just won't take a shot.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm with you. I don't have nothing left. I'm a big supporter, but I just look at this, like, yo, man, it's going to start getting on to your teammates, and you got to carry your weight, man. Everybody else carrying the pound, but Korkman, and I agree with Ty. Korkman ain't going to be scared. And we can't afford for him to be scared if you're on the court with Ben in the fourth quarter. You got to go for it. Nothing's going to go wrong. And then my other quick point is actually Qatar. It's not Qatar. I've been there twice.
It's pronounced Qatar now. They changed it. I said Qatar yesterday. I was wrong. I think it's Qatar now.
No. The people in Qatar say Qatar.
Oh, they do?
Okay. That's what I said.
So we anglicized it here?
Yeah, we you just like we say Iran, Iran, you know what I mean? We do what we do when Anglo-Saxon, you know, we change our language.
Yeah.
But I'm still hoping to relive that 83 parade I went to, cut school. I love that. But Ben, man, you just gotta step up. And when Brett and Al Horford yesterday, he was hot. I don't know what's going on with him. They mentioned something about a hamstring. But he started off good. I kind of like the Brett Fields thing. If he shoot, he made about 3 or 4 shots in the first quarter. Yo, man, just ride him until. But I know
I don't know. I don't know what to think about Al Horford.
Just to correct that, I spoke to the ambassador at my last job.
I got it right here in front of me.
It's Qatar.
It's generally acceptable to pronounce it Qatar or Qatar. The most authentic version of pronouncing Qatar or Qatar in Arabic is probably closer to Qatar. Most people in the West likely use Qatar and better recognize that Qatar pronunciation.
No.
It goes either or.
The ambassador said it was Qatar.
The ambassador?
I spoke to the ambassador.
The ambassador to Qatar. Ambassador?
With the other job, yes. He was coming on the show to talk about the Middle East.
Really? Okay.
And he referred to it as Qatar, so I'm going with the ambassador.
Oh, the ambassador's probably right, but it also says it's generally acceptable to pronounce it as Qatar.
I mean, how much does Qatar. Does it come up in Qatar. A general conversation anyway?
It doesn't.
Well,
except on this show.
Isn't there going to be a World Cup there? I think that's why.
In Qatar?
Qatar? Yeah, honestly, I think there's a World Cup coming up, and I think that's why everybody had to figure out how to pronounce it. Because they're going to be playing soccer. That's the biggest tournament in the world. I know not here, but in the world. And everybody's going to have to say it. Because they're going to be playing there. I think that's why it became a thing, when they won the bid.
The sheiks in Qatar, right?
Right, and they illegally got it. They paid a bunch of money to get it, and there was a bunch of FIFA firings. I think that was there, because a bunch of people were writing checks.
I want to be a sheik.
You want to be a sheik?
Yeah.
These sheiks are up to some bad things.
A lot of people come up to you. This is my hand. Hello, sheik.
Yeah. How do you become a sheik?
It's a good question. Be born into religious.
You got those,
be born into being a sheik.
Those guys are all, that's old family money. And it passes down. That's how it works now. And they're buying up all the soccer teams now. Because the NFL, too cheap. They'll go buy a big soccer club and spend billions upon billions.
It was the young sheik was in that movie that won the Oscar. What was the movie called? The Zero Dark 30. The sheik, the CIA guy bought the sheik at Lamborghini for information.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. That was the sheik, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the sheik, yes.
That was the sheik.
Yeah, the sheiks are up to no good, though, sometimes.
By the way, did you see the TNT halftime pregame, and they cut to Chris Webber? He was doing a game. I see Webb had this hair, this fro-looking hair, and he went with the kind of the upper lip mustache.
Like the little thin mustache.
Pencil?
Charles goes, they cut to C. Webb. He's on the camera. Charles goes, "Yo, C. Webb, you look like Lamont Sanford."
Come on.
That's a violation.
He said he looked like Lamont.
He said he looked like Lamont Sanford. Shaq fell off his chair. Romaine in Yaden. Romaine, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Romaine?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How you doing, Romaine?
All right. Look, man, I'm just calling. You know, I've been a Sixer fan all my life. 65 years old, man. And with Ben Simmons, I just come to the conclusion, man, I just got to deal with his attitude. That's his attitude. That attitude got him at LSU. And I bet he says it to himself. Look, my game got me to LSU. It got me to be the number one first player taken in the draft. It got me in the All-Star game. It got me, you know, everything. It got me a big contract. And I think he's saying like this. If you all can't deal with that, then that's just tough luck. And that's the type of attitude he has.
I agree with you. I was talking to Anthony about this when he was leaving. I was coming in. It's the golden child theory. When you're raised as the golden child, you don't do anything wrong.
You know, and another thing, Mike, real quick. Don't cut me off either. Corkman, I'm jumping on his bandwagon. Because it don't look like they're going to make
it. I play with the band.
Listen, man, it's perfectly fine to jump on his bandwagon. Don't come running to me in the playoffs when, you know, he shrinks. They need better. I'm telling you right now, they need better than Korkmaz.
Sure they do. Okay. But it don't seem like it's nobody who's out there.
They can get somebody better than Korkmaz. And if they don't, you're going to ride on the fact that he's good enough to be a playoff contributor in the heat of playoff series. You may think it. I'm not convinced that that could happen. You are? Hey, knock yourself out. I got my opinions. You got yours.
Hey, look, Mike, I just think that these next 30-some games or 30 games, I'm just hoping that, you know, he come around. And
I know everybody's hoping. Everybody's hoping. I'm just telling you what my feel is. And my feel is, in the playoff heat, you going to rely on that dude? It's going to be disappointing.
And one more thing real quick. You guys was talking about 8 heads in a duffel bag.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Did you ever see Weekend at Bernie's?
Of course.
Man, I don't believe they played that off. I went and seen both of them. I seen the first one and the second one.
Yeah.
So there's an audience out there for everything.
Yeah. Well, 8 heads in a duffel bag is a little more disturbing because they're severed heads.
Dude. Right, it's a little more darker. It's a little darker.
They're cut off at the neck with, like, come on, man.
Yes.
And Weekend at Bernie's was kind of funny. Dressed them up and put sunglasses on them. It was like you didn't get the effect, the morbid effect of it, like 8 heads in a duffel bag.
You know what disturbed me, though?
What?
So you see Weekend at Bernie's. Okay, fine. Uh-huh. Like, already like a flimsy premise, and you got away with one movie. He went to part 2?
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
No. You go to the theater for part 2. Like, you already know, this is a dead guy. We're going to do some stuff. Ha, ha, ha.
Well,
then you decide to re-up and go to the sequel.
It's what else could they do with Bernie? That's kind of what it is. That's what it should have been called.
Come on. Dude, I watched Law and Order last night, right?
Yeah.
All right. These two dudes found a dead body in an alley, right?
Uh-huh.
Law and Order. In New York, Manhattan.
Yeah.
They put him in a wheelchair. And they roll him up to a liquor store because they had to take him into the liquor store, take his wallet to get booze, and they're using the dead glasses.
No, they didn't.
Yes, what kind of
come on,
the guy was shot dead, right? They used him and put him in a wheelchair, and they were proceeding to go into the liquor store because they had his ID and they were going to use his ID to buy the liquor. Because they didn't have my dick.
Who was on the case?
Well, they caught the.
Yeah.
They were in the neighborhood and they saw, like, they investigated a little bit. They looked at the guy in the wheelchair and they turned him this way and he had a shotgun all on his side. Come on, man. That's low down.
That's low
just,
down.
Just to get
for a little bottle of hooch. That's what I'm saying. For a bottle of hooch. That's what you do? A dead body?
Oh, look, here's a dead body. Let's get some liquor with
him. Real quick.
Wayne and Juniata Park, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Wayne.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, listen, before I make my point, allow me to say I'm a long-time religious listener of your program. The best thing that could ever have happened was you guys coming on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
TV viewers.
Right. I'm a sales rep for Kellogg's, so a lot of times I just watch the DVR.
Oh! K-E-L-L-O. Right now, what's the Kellogg theme? What?
Yo, that's old school, Mike.
I was Jello. J-E-L-L-O. What was the Kellogg? K-E-L-L-O.
I don't know where you got that from.
Yo, what's the? I need a Kellogg theme. But go ahead with your point.
My point is this. I've been listening to all of this Ben Simmons talk. I listen, like I say, every day. I can't always call in because, you know, I'm out in the road during the day, but I stopped my car in the parking lot of a supermarket just so I could make this call. Ben Simmons. Think about Ben Simmons. When Brett Brown decided to make him a point guard, I look at a point guard, and let me know if you agree, I look at a point guard like a quarterback. And Ben Simmons' job, with all the attributes he has, his size, his speed, his ability to handle the ball, everyone keeps talking about the jump shot. Hell, I want him to take the jump shot too. But here's the thing. If he's a true orchestrator of the offense and the coach, and remember now, he's influencing point guard, just like, and I have the same beef, by the way, with Doug Peterson concerning Carson Wentz. If Ben is truly orchestrating the offense and he's attacking a defense situationally, like in the fourth quarter last year, I was so mad, I didn't know what to do. The jump shot becomes part of his game and the mentality and his willingness to take it because he's thinking, what do I do to put all my other players and the other players on the floor in the best position? How do I pressure and attack the defense? It's not just running at them and running to the hole because a lot of his turnovers come when he's running at the hole and he turns around and throws it to nobody. I saw him do it at least three times last night.
You're absolutely right.
And it drove me nuts.
Well, it drives me nuts too.
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
You ever think about this? Why doesn't Brett Brown hold practices where he basically says, listen, and he lets everyone know it. These sets we're going to run in this practice are geared towards Ben getting a nice, comfortable look. Because when you think about it, I'm talking about positioning, footwork, people being
Believe me, he's doing that.
You think so?
Of course he is. They're not practicing something like that.
No. Wait a minute. So you're telling me you think that he's running a practice that's geared towards the end of this play is going to be Ben getting a shot?
Yes.
You think that?
Yes.
No way. Mike, listen, I love you.
He just got done saying he wants him to take 1 3-point shot a game. So obviously he's going to design a set for it. And Ben's got to be willing to get to the spot. He doesn't seem to be willing to get to the spot. I mean, at this point, I've given up. I don't know what they're telling him. This is Kellogg's.
Good morning.
That's it.
Good morning. Each morning. K-E-L-L-O-double good Kellogg's.
There it is. That's the one I heard back in the day. K-E-L-L. I know it. See that?
Yeah. I found it.
All right. Now you got me in a Kellogg's cereal kind of mood.
You ranking them?
No, I want to know how many Kellogg cereals can you name at this particular juncture? See how many you can name.
Frost.
You give me one, I'll give you one. We'll go counter.
All right.
Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes, I'll go Corn Flakes.
Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies, I'll go Special K.
Smacks.
Honey Smacks. Wow, that's a good pull. But I'm going to go Corn Pops.
Ooh. Ty, that's you.
Did someone say regular Corn Flakes?
I said it.
Oh, you said Corn Flakes?
Corn Flakes. So we got Frosted Flakes, Corn Flakes, Special K, Rice Krispies, Corn Pops, Honey Smacks.
Is a golden? No, I don't know if.
I'm trying. You know, this is a contest now. It's me versus two of you. Come on now.
I think.
Come on
you
now.
You can't tap out.
What do you got? You tapping out?
No, he can't tap out. This is on you.
Are you still,
is
you
Cinnamon
still
Toast
in?
Crunch Kellogg's?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch? I don't believe.
How about Cookie Crisp?
Cookie Crisp? No, I don't think that's a Kellogg's. I could be wrong. But I'll give you the Kellogg's. I'll give you that. But now I'll go with Fruit Loops.
But the Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams? Is that a Kellogg's? Let's just say it is. I'm not sure it is. But I got to go Raisin Bran.
Wait, come on,
Tyrell. Go out last year.
Shredded wheat.
Mini wheats. All right. That's an awesome pull. Let's go now with, I'm going to stay in the fruit mode. Apple Jacks.
What about the Pops?
Gotta have my Pops.
Corn Pops, I already corn said. Pop. I said the, Corn Pops.
What about the Cocoa Krispies?
Cocoa Krispies
in there?
Count Chocula.
I don't know if that's Kellogg's.
See, that's the tough part, because I think General Mills is in that mix.
I think that's a General Mills deal.
And Post is in that mix.
Yeah, the Kellogg's, I don't think that's in there. But I got a couple left.
Wait, well, go ahead. What do you got?
I'm going Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Cracklin'
Who eats that? Nobody ever eats that.
Hey, man, here's a bust out. Crispix.
Come on.
This guy went there going, you're going to have a serology jar and everything.
I whooped you in Kellogg's.
You did.
Let's go to a break. We're back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.233. Let's get up there. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll has over 1,900 votes on it. Who do you side with, T.O. or McNabb? 67% going T.O., 33% say McNabb.
Yes, we will revisit that later in this hour, what McNabb had to say that triggered T.O. in a torrent of tweets. And I love feuds, and I love to rehash them. I love beefs. I'm a fan of the beef.
You are a fan of the beef.
Yes, I am. I need some help with something, because I was watching college basketball last night. I just brought it up during the commercial. Rutgers had a tough loss last night.
Yeah.
But they're going to be an NCAA tournament team, which I can't believe.
For the first time in a long time.
Really. And they lost to Iowa last night. Well, I was eyeing up that game. I don't know if they covered or not. Do you remember what that line was?
I think that they didn't, because they ended up winning.
They came roaring back in the game.
Yeah.
But they wound up losing to Iowa in Iowa.
Yeah.
Now, there's a guy that's playing for Iowa. I saw him for the first time. I saw him a little bit last year. But I saw him for the first time in person when they played Penn State the Plester. And his name is Luca Garza.
Yeah.
And I'm having a discussion with guys that are covering the game about whether this guy is a NBA player. And when I mean NBA player, I mean a viable NBA player. Like a starting 5 or 4 in this league. Have you seen this kid?
Yeah, I've seen him a couple times.
I need help on the evaluation of this kid.
It looks like he can play.
As a starter in the league?
See, I don't know who he can defend.
Yeah. Well, these guys next to me are swearing. I'm looking at the kid's feet, and he kind of looks clumpy.
Right.
With the feet.
Right.
But he's relentless.
Plays hard.
He's a relentless front court player.
Here's a question. Can he be Sabonis? Sabonis comes out of Zaga, starts for the Pacers, borderline all-star guy, doesn't shoot it great, but he moves pretty well. That's my question. I don't know how many guys can play at the high level now that can't move really well.
Like, see, he's an interesting guy. Like, I'm sure, like, because he's sure, oh, he's a pro. I go, I'm not sure. But now he's had five games after that Penn State game, and he's been dominant. Like, he's averaging 23-10.
That's pretty darn good. That's a tough conference.
He's a 39% three-point shooter. So he pops out and makes threes.
Right.
Which would make him a classic four in the league. He's 6'11", 245. Yeah, like a late bloomer kid.
Yeah, so he shoots it better than Sabonis. Because Sabonis can't really shoot it.
Yes, he looks like a little bigger than Sabonis. Yeah, so he's thicker. Look at him, he's bigger.
So he probably has to play the five, though, at that size. But you could be stretched so five.
Like a Vucevic five in the league?
But he shoots it better than him, but doesn't bang as well. I don't know if he'll be able to rebound the same.
He bangs.
He bangs. But
this kid bangs more than anything.
But NBA-level banging. He's going to be banging with these guys.
It's a good question. But it was like... you know, I'm having this. I'm looking at the kid. He had 34 against Penn State. So the guy was. The feet look a little clumpy coming back. You know, I don't know.
I mean, he's going to be in the league, but when you're talking about being a starter,
starting four.
I don't think he moves well enough.
All right. Well, if you're not like, I watch a lot of Big Ten basketball for obvious reasons.
And it's a good conference.
It is a good conference. So, like, if you have like the BTN and you catch Iowa, it's just. Watch the kid and see what you think.
And then who had a bunch of points yesterday for Rutgers?
Junior.
Yeah.
Harper Jr.
Yeah, the fact that Ron and Scottie Pippen Jr. is in, it's starting to feel old. All these juniors are all in playing college ball.
Rutgers has come out of nowhere, man. I gotta give him credit. Yeah. Saruk and Philly are on 97.5 Fanatic. Saruk.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
What's up, Saruk?
I just want to discuss, before you were discussing Qatar's football bid, I hope you got you saw the news where Mohammed bin Salman actually hacked into Jeff Bezos' phone through the WhatsApp. So, these sheikhs are into this creepy stuff.
I'm sorry, I didn't really hear what you were saying there, Saruk.
Can you hear me now?
Who hacked into whose phone?
Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, he hacked into Jeff Bezos' phone, the owner of Amazon, through the WhatsApp messages. So, you know, these sheikhs are into creepy stuff.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so I was wondering, why did they sign Al Horford? Why didn't they sign Malcolm Brogdon and J.J. Redick? Because they two would have cost the same amount of money as Al Horford. Malcolm Brogdon's contract is around 83.
Malcolm Brogdon was a trade.
So it was
a financial sign and trade type of situation.
I didn't know that.
J.J. Redick, they tried to re-sign, but not at the price New Orleans was going to pay him, and they needed a front court player once they lost Butler. So that was the idea behind Al Horford.
Okay. Because right now I see Al Horford, and he looks lost. I'm really disappointed at him.
He does.
Yeah, so I don't know where he can play. Even without Embiid, he's struggling.
You know, I wonder if it's getting in his head now. Man, I should have stayed with the Celtics. I had a much better role. I felt comfortable. They knew how to use me. Like, I wonder if that's creeped into his head, and he's, you know, he's lost that way, too, mentally.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, even without Embiid, I thought he would be better than, like, 7 points. But, you know, he has 7 points last night. Maybe 10, 12. No, nobody's in the paint. And he's still struggling. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I hear you, man. Al Horford, maybe he's a guy where age just caught up to him all of a sudden. Seen it a lot. I hope it's not the case. But... now, without Embiid, you would think that he would find a niche. He hasn't found that niche either. Not good. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Mike Misnelli Show back after this.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:45. Mike was on the show. Find something to do tonight. I'm thinking I'm in an aggressive mood. I'm thinking like going one to those Center City professional bars. You know, the guys in suits come out of the financial district and go have a martini afterwards, and just taking Gritty along is just busting some asses. What do you think?
just go cause some ruckus downtown.
I'm in a weird mood tonight. I just want to go in with Gritty, start just.
Do you want to come with me?
Just punching fools.
In this day and age.
I'm going to the Franklin Institute.
Are you going to that nighttime situation thing?
Yes.
What is that called?
It's Science After Dark.
Science After Dark?
Yes. Very excited.
Well, you are, huh?
In the,
yeah. Why, Ty?
What do you call that? No. The solarium?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They have like all sorts of exhibits and stuff, so I'm excited.
Well, have fun.
I will.
Sounds like a fun night.
You're more than welcome to join.
Yeah, I'm not.
Me and three of my friends.
I think I'll pass, but
it's Roaring 20s themed.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll be all right. So there are some whispers, Eagle topic here. There are some whispers that the Eagles have already decided to part ways with certain players. Now, a few of them are not surprising. And Nat, you've heard this as well.
Yes.
Darby, gone.
Yeah.
Aguilar, definitely gone.
Makes sense.
Jernigan, gone.
It makes sense.
Vitae, because he's going to get a contract from somebody.
Yeah, he's going to start for somebody.
Right,
yeah.
So there's no-brainers. But there are two other players that are very interesting. Jeffrey is one of them. Now, they can't do it until he heals. They can't cut an injured player. But the whispers are that as soon as he is cleared, he would cut. And they would have to eat the money.
Well, I think you can't cut him as long as you're going to pay him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. If you're going to pay him, you can cut him.
Okay, so they can cut him now and pay him.
Yep, you just got to pay him.
That's what the whispers are. He's one of them.
Yep.
And the other one happens to be Malcolm Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is very interesting. If they have decided to do that. That would be a shakedown of faith.
Yeah.
Because he played, you know, he had these discussions and they said, yeah, go out and play. And that would be cold-hearted if they did something like that. But would it be fiscally wise?
Yes, fiscally. And then it's just on you then to replace him. Because now, using that scenario, and I trust it completely, that means the only starter left in your secondary, most likely, is Mills. Because he'll be re-signed. He's one corner. Then you have to, McLeod, I mean, maybe you bring, I guess you bring him back McLeod. So I guess you bring him back McLeod at his age. And you bring him back Mills. And you have to replace another safety and a corner.
Well, I think Mattis can play safety, right? But you're right. It looks like they would have to refresh the whole thing.
Right. And you know what? It might be time. The other thing that it does, it makes clearly the leader in the locker room is now your quarterback. They're not looking to Malcolm. They're not looking to any snitches or rats. Clearly, you're making the locker room chemistry. The leader at that point is unquestionably, because Peters is going to be gone.
Yeah.
The quarterback's the leader. And I guess if that's what you want to do, I can see why that would make sense. Everybody's looking to him to lead. Because right now, there's guys, you know, there's multiple leaders.
That would be a very feisty Sports Talk Radio topic.
I don't.
If that happens.
I don't like that, though.
Oh, wow. There'd be a lot of people who probably wouldn't like it.
And it's because I don't think that you can replace everything at once successfully. Not this GM. So now I have to trust that he's going to find a corner opposite Mills. I got to trust that he's going to find viable safeties. And if you're taking Maddox away, who's playing in the slot? You got to find that guy. I don't know if Sidney Jones can even play. I have to trust that you're going to also find the right kind of locker room chemistry. Because you can't bring in other rats. You brought in rats in the past. Mm-hmm. He was one of the guys who helped fight against the rats. Now you can't bring in new rats. Like, you need a lot to go right if you make that decision. And I'm fine with it, but you have to know what you're doing with the replacements. And I don't know.
All right. Interesting. Let's go Hank in South Philly. Hank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hank.
What's going on, Mike?
How are you, Hank? How you doing?
I'm fine, my brother. I was just listening to you, and I enjoy listening to you because you make a lot of sense, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
You know, and
a lot of people would say that. I gotta be honest with you.
Every time somebody says that,
what I do is I record it, and like when I'm laid out in some funeral home, I want people to play it.
Well, who cares what a lot of people say?
Oh, when my urn is on the table, I mean.
Yeah, but listen, I wanted to talk about the same thing you said earlier. I don't know why Brett Brown uses Raul Neto instead of Trey Burke. I think it's a personal thing, you know, because I'm starting to think, you know, he's just forgetting about this dude. I'm not saying he's all world and all that, but I'm just saying last night would have been a perfect time to use it against Van Vliet and Lowry and them, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't see what Neto gives them at all. And Burke gives them at least a little quickness and off the bounce. And he could shimmy shake a guy. And I don't get it either. And I agree. He's not great, but he's athletic.
Right.
And in a game like that, I would think an athlete would be beneficial. So what are you trying to do? But.
And another thing, like I like Furkan Korkmaz, right? But it seems like he has to have his feet set. Wait till ain't nobody around and then shoot that jump because he's not the type to just come off and just shoot it because it'll be short or it'll be too long, you know. And another thing, I have no idea what Tyrone Johnson sees in Shake Milton. You know, I mean, I don't know, Tyrone, he must be his cousin.
Listen, he was on Shake a long time ago. So this is like an original Tyrone Johnson club member.
And you know, you love who you like, or you like who you like. I understand that. But I don't see nothing in Shake Milton that says NBA player.
Yeah, I don't see it either, but we'll let Tyrone explain his affection for Shake.
I think Shake can get his own shot. I think Shake can shoot the rock, and I think he moves pretty well. I think Shake, and he's going to get an opportunity because you're going to have Richardson out for a couple of weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's going to show that he's an NBA player. Not an NBA star. I think he'll show over the next couple of weeks he's an NBA player because he shoots it and he moves well enough. And he can handle it. That's all I'm saying. I think he will be. He's not Justin Anderson.
Okay.
I think he's a real NBA player. That's what I think.
All right.
That's all.
That's your opinion. I know.
And he can strike.
I don't agree with it. But
let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks. Playing a lot of tough teams. Might show up.
Yeah.
Lakers.
Hopefully he does.
Boston. Bucks.
They could use a little boost.
Yeah.
Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. Last night's Sixers game was a perfect demonstration, in my opinion, of why they need three-point shooters, you know, or at least one. In the first quarter, everyone was throwing up threes well beyond their average, and they were doing well. When they cooled off, they fell behind. And, you know, it's just a perfect demonstration of what they need.
Well, they did shoot 40% last night from three.
Well, that's what did they do in the first quarter?
It was 50%. I get it, but when you end a game shooting 40%, that's not bad.
Well, but when they cooled off,
they're not reliable 3-point shooters. But last night they made some
early, and then they fell behind when they started missing. But I wonder, did they do something different with the defensive scheme, or is it just the lack of rim protection that allowed Toronto to go to the hole so much?
Yeah, a lot of it is rim protection. They don't have anybody. I don't know what they're going to do with Norvell Pell. He can't play. All right? He can't.
No,
he cannot play.
He looked totally lost.
Yeah, he's lost like 4 out of 5 times he gets on the floor, he's lost.
Yeah, well, the one pass hit him in the back of the head, I think.
Yeah, he has no instincts for the game.
No.
None.
I mean, he's big.
So, they got to make a decision. Well, they're short now, so they're going to have to, cut somebody or move somebody off the roster to add him? Because him now,
they're going to put him in storage because they only have to get through 5 games. It's only 5 games between now and the trade deadline. So he's going to be down for 5 games.
And then they're going to trade somebody to open a roster spot.
Or cut somebody at that point. But you got to see what happens with the trade. They might have to send back multiple guys to take one back. Let's say, hypothetically, you had to trade Mike Scott and Zaire and something else for Derrick Rose, for example. Then you might send out 2 guys, get one back, and then you just have a spot for him. So he's going to go into cold storage until the trade deadline. And it kind of makes sense to do that.
He's worse than Boban.
He's not.
He's close.
He's not.
Boban stepped out and made a couple shots.
Offensively, he's worse than everyone.
He has no idea how to play on the other end, offensive end.
None at all. Defensively, he's not. He's a project that you can work with. Offensively, nothing's there right now. Nothing. Offensively.
All right.
That's why Ben's pass was so dumb. You passing it to him at the three-point line. What's he going to do with it?
Yeah. Okay, so 5K day is coming up. 4 o'clock, we got a chance to give away $1,000. Stay tuned for the keyword that's coming up after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.